It starts on a high point and goes up from there. The towering Gothic facade of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine looks over Morningside Heights on New York's Upper West Side, the highest plot of ground in Manhattan. With two other venerable institutions on what's called the Acropolis, St. Luke's Hospital and Columbia University, it's been taking care of bodies, minds, and souls for over a century. But since the arrival in 1972 of the cathedral's charismatic dean, James Parks Morton, there's been a whole lot of shaking going on up there on the high ground.
I think it staggers the imagination for a lot of people, first of all, because it is such an extraordinary place. I mean, it's a great, great, great building.
And this is music for a great building, a great space, from the Missa Gaia, or Earth Mass, commissioned by the cathedral from Paul Winter. There are times, and this struck me when I was there, it takes the organist a second or two to hear his trumpet pipe from the other end of the building, two football fields away. This Earth Mass, named after Gaia, the Earth Goddess, was written to include whale songs, wolf songs, literally all the creatures of the planet. That's about the size of the cathedral's vision, to encompass more than just blue-blood Episcopalians, but Buddhists, Muslims, and America's own native people. Last Thanksgiving, there was an elaborate ritual of reconciliation with the native peoples, a thanks for how they had sustained the first settlers with food, an apology for historic wrongs, and like incense, the sweet smell of forgiveness.
We had four chiefs from four different directions in the country, from the Northlands and the East and from the South and from the West. And these four chiefs and their wives were standing in front of the high altar.
Did you burn sweet grass?
Oh, yes, everyone was given sweet grass when they came in the cathedral. And It was extraordinary. And then the evening terminated in the most extraordinary way with the four chiefs and their wives, plus the drummers, and Orrin Lyons, who's an Onondaga chief as well. He said, of course, we all end up with a sacred dance. Then I think a lot of the non-Indians thought, well, we'll see the Indians dance. He said, oh, no, this is all of us dancing together if we're talking about reconciliation. And so the cathedral was turned into a long hut. And the chairs were pushed back, and everyone joined hands, and the Indians and the non-Indians, I mean, all Americans, danced together.
It's been a major mission of the cathedral under Dean Morton to realign Western, European, urban worship with notions that are more at home in Native American spirituality, like the sacredness of the earth.
I think that we can divide the world now sort of into the before the moonshot photographs and after the moonshot photographs. I think truly the experience of seeing the earth as this tiny blue, white, green, beautiful Christmas tree ornament against a void of black has opened up people's imaginations and minds in ways that are just totally, totally new, because you see it a totality, you see a togetherness, you see a sort of God's total creation.
Environmentalists, ecologians, were speaking out from the cathedral's pulpit long before they had a wide audience in the culture at large.
We started back in 1975 when René Dubos, the great sort of dean of American ecologists, became a colleague of the cathedral and began preaching at the cathedral and speaking of the issues of the environment as the issues within which theological work and theological language and theological thinking has got to take place. That we begin within an earth construct. We begin within a nature construct. Now, most seminary thinking was totally different from that. The earth was something you stood on, but you were elevated above it, and you were of a different species. You, It's very unbiblical because, I mean, the center of the biblical stuff is, you know, you were of the earth, you know, you were dust, and to dust shall you return. I mean, this is pretty fundamental stuff in the scriptures. But although we mouthed that, we didn't believe it. And most medieval theology and Reformation theology and Counter-Reformation theology and modern theology, the earth was just not even in the equation. You didn't think about it. It's only very, very recently that this kind of thinking, and thanks to people...
Thomas Berry.
Well, Father Berry, again, a canon of this cathedral. Tom Berry, I met in 1975 with René Dubos, and those two men are the two who turned me around and made me understand that this was the context in which I had to preach.
And the drought last summer, of course, meant that at last there were a lot of ears to hear. But Dean Morton has always been more than just a preacher. He's been a masterful impresario, and he knows the value of images, ritual, and symbol. For the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, he cooked up a procession of animals that included horses, camels, a llama, and hundreds of cats and dogs, all led into the cathedral by an elephant.
The great bronze doors open. Those doors usually just open for the bishop on Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they open for the elephant. And but this last year, it moved even into another dimension of symbolism, which was extraordinary because it was headed by the elephant, seconded by the camel, and thirded by the llama, and then a great horse. And there were about 18 animals, including a large macaw and an 18-foot snake, and these wonderful beasts going down. And then the head of the Gaia Institute, a guy by the name of Paul Mankiewicz, carried a large glass jar in which were 6 trillion, I repeat, 6 trillion blue-green algae.
If that sounds a bit like conceptual art, it does make the serious point that all creatures, great and small, do fit into St. John the Divine's cosmology. The cathedral has broken ground in making for new dialogue among the faiths as well.
In looking back from the moon to the earth, the episcopal nature of the earth isn't what first of all sort of hits me on the head.
Yeah.
Not even its Anglican nature, not even its Christian nature. I mean, you know, I mean, all of these things are true and they're all there, but I don't even see New York.
Which isn't to say that the cathedral isn't directly involved in the problems of New York. It's sheltered the homeless not only under its towering roof, but it shelters in 3 other boroughs. And it's doing something altogether unique for kids in the neighborhood, Harlem, center of the worst drug dealing and despair in the city. It's teaching them to carve stone. They're still building St. John the Divine. They've been at it since 1927, and they're still a few years from finishing it. But those kids are doing it by hand, with mallets and chisels, just like the 13th century.
Well, something that's happened in the last year that's very exciting is we've expanded our workforce and created a separate corporation called Cathedral Stoneworks, Inc., which is restoring and providing stone for buildings that need stone and stone projects all over the metropolitan area.
So postmodern ornamentation came along just in time to save your...
Well, postmodern ornamentation came along just at the nick of time, and also the what's called the preservation movement, and which is a sensitivity towards one's past and a great passion for restoring important old buildings. And everyone wants to steal our workers, which I'm thrilled about.
You're selling them off at a good price, I hope?
Yep.
Are you going to be finished in time, and do you have a deadline?
Yes, the day before the second coming.
What do you? Can you say when that is?
No, I'm not quite sure.
Will you make it?
It was a little bit of luck.
We'll get you to the church on time. My guest has been the very Reverend James Parks Morton, Dean of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City.